So today's message on the 5th of April, the first Sunday in April 2026, is entitled, You Get What You Pay For. I was going to call this sermon, because I'm a Yorkshireman, You Don't Go Out For Note. But I thought that non-Yorkshire listeners might not understand what I meant. So You Get What You Pay, What You Pay For seemed a similar and more widely understood concept. My dad always warned me about buying things on mail order. In those days, that's what it was. It wasn't online, it was mail order through a newspaper, because unless you've actually seen and handled the goods being advertised, he said, then there's every chance that you are going to waste your money on something that you think is a bargain, but in reality will only bring you disappointment. My first experience with verifying that what he said was true was when I bought a pair of ex-military leather gauntlets. Don't ask me why. I think it was to go on my bike, you know, my bicycle. I was only a kid. For a few quid by mail order. I liked the look of the advert in black and white. Black and white gauntlets. And when they arrived, they were like two bits of very thin leather sewn together and were practically useless. I think I put them on once, and that was it. I was duped. I bought a dream. Same thing happened with some so-called German-made binoculars. They sounded excellent quality, very, very powerful, but when they... And they were very cheap as well, which is always a clue. It's always a clue. I just couldn't go wrong, could I? But a great disappointment again. Same with some of the items sold by, and this is modern, this is a modern problem, must have ideas. You are expertly, and I mean expertly, persuaded that this item is indispensable and what you need at a fraction of the normal price. Only for the item to sit in the bottom of your drawer, gathering dust, or in your shed or your garage, being ignored. You didn't actually need it at all. And when it arrived, you realized, why did I do that? Why did I get this vacuum cleaner extension with multiple straws on the end to suck out the dust in the cutlery drawer? Why did I do that? Why did I buy this thing? It didn't even fit the vacuum cleaner, but it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it was dirt cheap. I try not to think about the things I wasted money on over the years. Thankfully, none of those items have been very expensive. They've been, give it a go, cheap. Cheap rubbish, mainly. The art of advertising has become more and more sophisticated over the years. For those of my age, it has changed from that black and white advert in the newspaper to a full-scale colour video of seeing, apparently, the actual item being used by real people doing real work with the item. So when you read the many comments of the people who have supposedly bought these things, who said, oh, it's excellent, so it's just better than I thought it was going to be, you tend to believe their testimonies, and you can't resist the massively reduced price for today only. That is only available for the next few minutes. And then you're shown this countdown. You need to decide now. As you see the stock reducing before your eyes online, and the once-in-a-lifetime offer disappearing, you sometimes take the bait and click on the Buy Now button. I'm getting some really sympathetic looks and laughs from people here. It's the same with everything, isn't it? If you want quality, then you just have to pay for it. If you want quality. There's no such thing as a free meal ticket, as they used to say. Maybe they still do. Someone, usually you, has to pay for it one way or another. If you want something of quality, you have to pay. BMW, Mercedes, etc., Rolls-Royce don't make cheap cars. One of the parables of Jesus goes like this. Short parable, Matthew 13, 45 to 46. Jesus is saying, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it. Everything. Just to get that pearl of great value. He wanted it that much. In other words, you don't get precious things of amazing value for nothing. The more value they have, the more it's going to cost you. Agreed? If you buy a cheap car, it won't last as long as an expensive one. If you buy a cheap pair of shoes or slippers, you'll be buying another pair sooner than you had hoped for. If you want quality, it costs, but it lasts much longer. Much longer. And in the end, may actually save you money, as your investment is sound and whatever you invested into is paying off with a peace of mind and reliability. It's likely to give you more satisfaction in the long run. For some people, it's difficult to go all in. I'm going all in to this, so to speak. And this is a story of one such man in Matthew 19. Verses 16 to 23. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man answered. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Let's face it, that was a very tall order for that rich man, wasn't it? He was a religious man in that he was following many of the commandments, and most people would likely see him as a good guy. But Jesus challenged him with something that he had to go away with and carefully think about, ponder on. In effect, the saying, "You don't get out for note, and perhaps you get what you pay for," were challenging this young wealthy man. He wanted something that he wasn't prepared to pay for. If you analyze that scripture carefully, you'll see that the challenge was to sell everything and give to the poor in exchange for treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Jesus didn't actually say to him that he needed to be skint to be saved. He was saying it was to do with being perfect and having treasure in heaven. Nobody's perfect. Remember, if it is impossible for anyone to make themselves perfect, we are all sinners. We are all sinners, and only God can change us into what we need to be. Paul totally realized this as a truth. And here he is talking to Timothy, his protege, about acknowledging his own sinfulness. This is Paul's sinfulness, and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 13 to 16, we read, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The one who wrote most of the New Testament. Of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. The worst of sinners can receive full forgiveness and eternal life. Did you understand that? Paul was not disqualified for being a blasphemer. He wasn't disqualified for being violent in the past, a persecutor of the church. Rather, it was those admissions of his fallen nature that qualified him to be accepted. The fact that he owned up to it was the thing that qualified him to be accepted. Lord, I have done these things. I confess I am not worthy of being saved. I am not a righteous man. Peter said the same thing as, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Do you remember? And he was the leader of the disciples. It was those things that he confessed that qualified him to be accepted as one needing forgiveness and reformation by Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had to go to the temple and offer sacrifices for their sins. The bigger the sin, the bigger the sacrifice. From a pigeon or a dove, right up to lambs, goats, oxen, etc. It was a great business opportunity for those selling animals in or near the temple, because the animals had to be purchased using the correct currency. You couldn't buy them with just whatever you wanted. You couldn't write a check. You couldn't give them a few coppers from Taiwan or, you know, it had to be the right currency. You had to change your money from, say, Greek leptas or whatever they're called, into temple money. This was good business because there was a cut for the vendor, there was a cut for the temple, there was a cut for the Romans, there was temple tax, there was an exchange rate that could be manipulated. Does it sound familiar? It usually was an exorbitant rate, which reduced the quality of the animal that you were now able to afford. So you went with your money thinking, I really ought to sacrifice a goat. But by the time you've exchanged it, you can't buy a goat anymore. You have to have something smaller and cheaper, which then had to be vetted by the priest to say whether it was good enough. You could end up not being able to afford the animal to cover your sin. Jesus hated this. Jesus hated this, as he had a heart for the poor, a heart for the sick, a heart for the widows, and wanted the temple to be used for prayer and worship of his Father. Luke 20:46-21:4. Jesus speaking, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So Jesus never discriminated against the rich or the poor. It wasn't their wealth that upset him. It was the condition of their hearts and their relationship with God. It's not sinful to be rich. If this poor widow was to receive only what she was able to give, she'd be sunk, wouldn't she? What could you buy with a widow's pension, if there was such a thing in those days? How could she ever get forgiveness? She had no money to buy an animal to be sacrificed at the temple. So when does you get what you pay for turn into sometimes you get what you don't deserve? When does you get what you pay for turn into sometimes you get what you don't deserve? It happens spectacularly with Jesus. The scriptures say in Romans 6, 20-23, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter how rich you are, you cannot buy forgiveness, especially from God. Forgiveness from God is priceless, if you know what I mean. It guarantees a future with God and in his kingdom. You can't buy it. If you declare bankruptcy in this country, it means that there is no way you can pay off your debts, doesn't it? You've hit a brick wall and you confess that you admit defeat. And you have to humble yourself and approach a higher authority to bail you out. It must be quite a humbling thing to admit that you've become bankrupt. Because all your cockiness and your self-opinionated ideas and your confidence in yourself, your self-confidence, has actually just let you down, big time. In the case of forgiveness from God, up until Jesus was crucified and resurrected, the price for atonement increased year on year, a bit like inflation, and never ended. You were never totally forgiven anyway. Your guilt was covered for a while, until next time, when you were guilt-ridden again. It went on forever, and you never really knew when it would stop. But if God forgives you absolutely, then your future is secure, isn't it? The debt is paid off. And that is what happened on the cross. Jesus' last words on the cross included the following two scriptures. In Luke 23:33-34, we read, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus wanted forgiveness, even for those who were attacking him and killing him and causing him massive amounts of pain. That was his prayer. And in John 19:28-30, we read, Jesus on the cross now, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and littered it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. That word, "it is finished," is one word in Hebrew. You may have come across it. If I pronounce it correctly, it is tetelestai. T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. Tetelestai. It is finished. It literally means it's completed. It's paid off. The word is used in business transactions as well in the completion and perfection of work. In other words, there's nothing more owing, there's nothing more to do. I finished my work, it is perfected. Don't need to touch it, it's done. It is finished. This was the sacrifice of God for us. Bankruptcy paid off. God paying off all our debts now and in the future. The only requirement is nothing to do with money. The only thing he asks of us now, it's got nothing to do with money. Isn't that good? It's to do with faith and it's to do with humility. That's all he asks. There's no way anyone could pay the debt that Jesus Christ paid. So the saying, you get what you pay for. So what did Jesus get in exchange for the payment he made? What did he get for paying for us? It didn't look like a very good deal, does it, at first look? Really high price. What did he get out of it? Well, he purchased you and me. He bought us from Satan's kingdom. We're not Satan's anymore, if you accept the payment. The problem is that although we don't need to pay anything to him in terms of money, there is a price to pay for us to pay. And this is what it is. Mark 8:35 to 38. Jesus says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, for Jesus, and for the gospel, the word of Jesus, will save it." That's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it? What good is it then for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You haven't got anything to give in exchange for your soul. If anyone is ashamed of me, of Jesus, and my words, the words of Jesus, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels. What you get for free, for you doing nothing at all, is separation from God. You get that for free. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to accept Jesus. You don't have to repent. You don't have to do anything. Just get on with your life and you will get separation from God, thrown in, free. And although salvation and eternal life is free to us, it's not for naught. Someone else paid for it, didn't they? Someone else bailed you out. And it was incredibly, incredibly expensive. And we need to be thankful. We need to be respectful. And we need to commit our lives to that person. We wouldn't want him to be ashamed of us, would we? After going to such extreme lengths to set us free from sin and death. Would you want him to be ashamed of you? Because she said, I'm all right, mate. Thanks, but no thanks. Remember, you will get what you pay for, or someone else will have to pay it for you. If you're still waiting for payday, make sure it's not the wages of sin that you're going to get on payday. Make sure you're not waiting for that. I'll leave you with this thought. When Jesus was on trial, Pilate offered the people the opportunity to release one of the prisoners. He had a choice. The people had a choice. They could release Jesus, in whom no fault was found. Or they could release Barabbas, who was convicted. It was proven. He was a murderer, insurrectionist, all kinds of things which were, in those days, worthy of crucifixion. The crowd chose Barabbas in favour of Jesus. Some of you may know that Barabbas is two words linked together to form a name. Bar means son of. Abbas means of the fathers. Son of the father, or son of the fathers, is what his name meant. In other words, just somebody's son. I've got a couple here today. We're all sons and daughters of our sinful earthly fathers. We're all Barabbases, in a way. And Jesus paid the price for Barabbas to go free. Let the sinful person go free. Do you identify with Barabbas? And it didn't cost you anything. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For note, accept. You won't be able to accept it without giving him your life. For giving him praise and worship. For taking what he says seriously. For realigning your desires, your direction in life, what you value in life. All those things he will want you to offer up to him to be changed. If that is too expensive for you to consider, that he will change your life against your will, then take the free alternative. The free alternative is separation from God. And I didn't mention hell once. Father, we thank you that you have paid it all for those who realize that there is a debt to be paid. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the only one who could do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.